Okay, so Sebastian Bader of Bern will tell us about three metrics on n squared, the natural number squared.
Big thanks to Anna and I'll try to keep Misha's face because last talk. I think it's an evolution that has to do with torus links. I will not talk on this, but I will talk on torus links. So it's not three stories, but three metrics on n squared. More precise, it's not on n squared, but on unordered doubles of natural numbers. So a, b.
So, Sebastian, you should be starting high and going to the middle rather than...
There will be 3 hours.
Oh, okay, okay.
So a pair of numbers AB is equivalent to the pair. So the first metric is very easy to explain. It's just concrete. These pairs you can naturally, this set you can naturally embed in n squared by the elementary set of doubles. And then you get the following metric. Distance pairs is, well, I choose the max of the difference of the two elementary symmetric functions. A plus B minus C minus D. A, B minus C, D.
Just a notation question. Is 0 a natural number?
No. Yeah, it doesn't really play a role, but no. So that's the first method.
You can put the value of the differences.
Yes. Thank you. So the second metric, I will interpret such a pair as a Euclidean rectangle with side lengths A and B. And out of this, R, A, B, I will produce a new distance called dr, to be defined later. A third metric is by interpreting an unordered pair of numbers as a torus link. And there again, I will produce a distance function, which I call the cobordism distance. D, for some reason, D count. And the goal is to show that those three metrics are the same. In fact, not totally the same. Up to a constant, up to a Bayer-Lipschitz constant. So let me start by explaining this distance. Cobordism distance. That's defined for any pair of oriented links. So let, well, links, yeah, links. Let L1, L2 in S3 be two oriented links. Now we define the distance between L1 and L2 to be the maximal Euler characteristic. In fact, minus, because we want this to be a positive number, among all smooth-oriented cobordisms that connect L1 and L2. Smooth-oriented cobordism. Where does it sit in S3 cross 0, 1. With oriented boundary L1 union L2. One has to be viewed in S3 cross 0 and the other in S3 cross 1. And maybe I forgot to say something here. Fully embedded, and I should also say without closed components, because otherwise you can just, yeah. So S2 should not be in there. So I said that I call this a distance, but in fact it's not a metric. But D is not a metric or not on links. The reason is that there exist slice knots, yeah, smoothing slice knots. For example, the distance of the trivial knot to this one is zero, because this knot bounds a smoothly embedded disk. It's a connected sum of a trefoil knot and its mirroring.
No, you have a cross knot.
Ah, sorry. Okay, now let's move to torus links. Ah, but I shouldn't use this part, so let's... So to a pair of natural numbers, we associate the torus link, in fact a positive torus link, as follows. Let me just draw an example, because you know what is this? Let me draw T3, 4. So here is a torus, and the torus link of type 3, 4 goes 3 times around the torus in this direction and 4 times like this. So it looks somehow like, like that. State the lemma here that the cobordism distance restricted to torus links is a metric. That's due to Little and, I believe, by using signatures. Now let me state a well-known result, a big result, the Thom conjecture. In this language, it just says that the cobordism distance between TAB and the trivial knot is AB minus A minus B. Why is that? Well, I can't explain you the whole thing, but I can at least explain why this is the case. A torus link of type AB you can represent as a braid. In this case, it would be that braid, a free strand braid. This one. From this, you obtain a natural cipher surface, which has precisely this Euler characteristic, because it consists of, let's say, this is A. Then this surface has A disks and I believe A minus 1 times B 1 handles. And so you obtain precisely this. And of course, this is even a surface in S3. And it's known by Benka that this is a minimal genus, even before it was known. Yeah. But it was long conjectured that this surface is of minimal genus among all surfaces, even in the four-ball. Now such a surface you can also view as a cobordism between TAB and the trivial knot, because you can just have a little hole here in the surface. Yeah? The difficult part of the conjecture is, of course, this one. So now let me state the theorem. There exists a constant C, at least one, such that for almost all torus links, I will say shortly what this means. For almost all, the distance of TAB and TCD is between two quantities, namely 1 over C times DA, and I don't write the parameters here. It's the natural distance I defined at the very beginning. Well, let me write it once again. Max A plus B minus C minus D, AB minus CD. So it's between this and that. So that means I've determined the cobordism distance up to a Bayesian constant. So if you want to view torus links with this distance as a metric space, we have determined it up to quasi-isometry, if you like. But I wrote for almost all. What does it mean? For almost all means there are finitely many exceptions for each fixed Bragg index. So star, finitely many exceptions for fixed Bragg index. Concretely, it means, for example, I'm looking at Bragg index 3. This starts with 3, 4. Maybe I have to throw this away. Maybe I have to throw one more away. Maybe finitely many, but at some point I have all. For example, here from T, 3, 10 on. It's okay. So, I should keep this.
That is a metric, what you're raising. I mean, that is a metric when you, if you restrict it, concordance class is not.
Sorry?
It is a metric of concordance group.
That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah, I should have said it. By the way, there is a nice conjecture by Livingston that if you take the stable four genus, then it's the metric of concordance group. But this is difficult, I believe. There is one main ingredient. Now, I should make a few remarks. The first remark is that both inequalities need a justification. justification. Why is that? Well, maybe if you don't look at it very precisely, you could believe that here it's just written something like the difference of the four genera, or something like that. But it's not true. In fact, you can always find two torus names which are far away and have the same genus. So you cannot use one concordance invariant to get this lower bound. In fact, you need many, many of them. I will mainly explain this inequality because it's much more geometric. It's really a construction. So the second remark, and that's something I observed recently, is that the theorem is wrong for all torus names. So there is no global constant. So there is no constant that works for all. Let me just justify this. Let's look at the following example of pairs of torus links. One of them is T6N 12N plus 1. And the other is T6N plus 1 12N minus 1. Now let's quickly determine Dn. So the parameters are 6n, 12n plus 1, 6n is 4. If you take the sum and the difference of the sums, you get 1. If you take the product, the quadratic term is gone. The linear term is 6n on both sides. And the constant term is, it's 1. Yeah? But using certain signature functions, I can show that the distance of those two is at least 4n. So it means there is no global constant. Yeah, this is slightly disappointing.
You don't have a global constant on both sides or only one?
I don't have... what does this mean? This is too difficult now. If it's one, I don't have a constant on this side. I could have one on this, but I can't prove it.
But still possible.
It's still possible, yeah. Yeah, it's a curious thing that I used for almost in both inequalities. Although the proofs are different. The statement relies on the following proposition, which is really the key ingredient of the proof. The distance from T A B C and T A B C is precisely E minus 1 times C minus A absolute value, but this is true for B, or even for B equals 1, because for B equals 1, then you have the same, even for B equals 1. It's okay. And, by the way, with the maximal Euler characteristic, I just call it chi here, of TAB, ABC, minus chi of TAB. It's easy to see, the triple product ABC is cancelled, and what remains is precisely.
So what do you mean by chi here?
That's the maximal Euler characteristic. It's called slice Euler characteristic. So it's you look for a surface of maximal Euler characteristic bounding T, so bounding this knot in the foreground. And that's been computed by Kohlheim and Komovka. And you just plug in the values. And so this gives, in particular, since I write here equality, this already means that it's at least this. So what I have to show you is that there is a cobordism of this Euler characteristic between those. And then I'm done. Okay, let's do this. I don't have to turn it. That's really fun. So spend some time in this. It's really geometric. I do it on an example. I will start with T 6, 5. You see this has a factor here, so I will be able to apply this procedure. Let me draw this. So I want 6 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. To repeat this 5 times. Oh. Was not a good idea. So that's T56, you have to close it, of course. Now, let's see what we can do. We want to transform this into T310, bringing 2 on the other side. That's easy. Let's smooth the crossing here. One here, and that's it. You can smooth the crossing, and that costs 1 in terms of Euler characteristic. Yeah? So this costs 2, and I claim that this diagram, this break, represents this knot. How can we see this? Well, we see here already a part of a, well, we see a 3-2 here. Yeah? And what do we see below? We see, in fact, 3 strands that start at the left, go with a full twist over all the other strands, and end up on the right. And then, they do more twists, go around, below, etc. You have to untwist this stuff, and you end up with 3-10. That's a bit difficult to see, but maybe you can even count it. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, but the full twist accounts for 3 more. So it's 7. And now, what did we do? We moved. Well, B is 2 here, so 1 times C minus A. C minus A, 5 minus 3 is 2. And the general thing is, let's do that. I could also transform this into 2, 15. With an analogous procedure, you have to smooth, along this line, 1, 2, 3. And along this line, 1, 2, 3. I don't know if this is visible now. It's a bit difficult to see, but you should see 2 strands here, turning up here, and more. And it's exactly the same one.
you see, you start, for example, here you have two strands going with a full twist over all the others, make a round, etc. And here you see now, that's B, that's C minus A, and the B minus 1 is this. So this works. And the theorem follows almost immediately from this proposition. So I have to talk about rectangles shortly. So to a pair AB, we associate a Euclidean rectangle to R, AB, Euclidean. Let's call this A, B. And now I'll introduce the distance on rectangles. And this will be dynamically definition. I will introduce two operations on rectangles. The first operation is the following. Take R, A, B plus C. You are allowed to transform this into R, A, B. This just means that you... So this B plus C here... cut this part away, but this costs something. The cost, that's A times B, sorry, A times C, the area effect. Let me justify this. If you think of these rectangles again as torus links, what does it mean to cut such a rectangle away? It just means that you have to smooth a rectangle of crossings. Precisely A times C and not. Maybe A times C might as well. I don't know. Everything is up to quasi-isometry, so let's put A times C. The second operation is inspired by the proposition. R, A, B, C is transformed into R, A, C, B, and this costs what is written there. Sorry if this is not visible. This costs, well, you know it, B minus 1 times C minus A absolute value. Because here you're allowed to kill the whole rectangle, then create a new one. Of course, you're allowed to do both things. The costs are the same. So, by minimizing costs. So, you try to find a finite sequence of operations from one rectangle to the other, which has minimal costs. Yeah, now let's compute its distance. And let's suppose that A is smaller than C. Let's suppose it's really smaller than C. Because if it's equal, then we are in an easy case, we just have to add a rectangle or something. So the interesting case is when A is smaller than C, and we assume A is smaller than B, and, well, C smaller than B. There is no loss of generality here. Well, except for this, but this is an easy case. Now, smaller than C and smaller than D. So A is smaller than D. So we can write D as K times A plus R, rest, where the rest is smaller than A. And we should move here. So I want to start with this rectangle, which is the same as R C A K plus R. And now I will remove that part, C, A, K. That's one. Then I will bring this factor to the other side, C, K, A. And then, so that's two. And again, one. Transform this into R, C, D. Ah, sorry, A, D. B, A. It's another pair, so. What do these operations cost? This is easy. This is R times C. But R is smaller than A, and A is smaller than C. So this costs, well, R times C, is smaller than C squared. This costs K minus 1 times C minus A. And I can really write C minus A because C is larger than A. And here it's difficult because what is B compared to CK? We don't know. But in fact, we can write it. We can still say it's, A times B minus CK, the costs. And now comes something difficult, for me at least. We have to bound the total costs now. So it's C squared plus K minus 1 C minus A plus A B minus CK. So now, let me say something. What did we do? Here, we removed some area. This operation preserves area. You see, CAK is CKA. So this doesn't affect the area. Here, we have to add some area again. Maybe also remove. I don't know. But in total, the area effect is at most, well, here we did something, C squared. Maybe we have to add the C squared again, plus the total difference of the area. So that was a bit difficult, I guess, but the ones together. So this and this together gives, is at most 2 times C squared, plus the difference of areas, AB minus CD. Because the second operation doesn't affect the area. So these two are bounded by this. This K is roughly D divided by A. It's even smaller. But so this is smaller than D divided by A times C minus A. So in total we obtain 2C squared plus the area defect plus what's written here? DC minus, well, you can write this as DC minus AB divided by A plus B minus D.
Needs maybe a few seconds to verify this. You see, this cancels away, and DC over A is written here, and minus D is written here.
And now comes a funny remark. If the areas are close, almost the same, what does it mean? It means that B and D must be far away. Because, you see, C is really larger than A. So it is at least A plus 1. So, and now, I don't want to write precise things, but what you can say is this is smaller than a constant times max, and precisely what I want.
What?
dA. Of course, I was cheating a little bit here. This would be true if this term was missing. Then this would be true. But this term is not missing. And that's where I have to throw out a few exceptions. So, this is only true up to, well, for almost all. In the sense I told you before. A, B, C, D. Now, of course, there are a few details I didn't explain because it's boring. When do I have to stop?
You have another 13 minutes. 13.
So roughly, I explained the upper bound. Yeah? How about the lower bound? Let's turn this immediately away. It's so ugly.
Which means that it's the part that can be most improved. So in some sense, it's
That's right. The
ones that most...
That's right,
So Scott here is an expert on turning algebra into geometry. You should talk to each other.
Right. But you see, there was the remark that, that it doesn't exist a global constant, and this was on that side. So I cannot, I cannot really surround. Yeah, what about the lower bound? this is a bit difficult. It's a bit boring, that's the difficulty. Of course, there is a lower bound for the cobordism distance. It is the difference, for example, the difference of the chi's. That gives the lower bound for the cobordism distance. What's that? Well, after Kronheim and Mrovka and others later, it is AB minus A minus B minus the same thing for the other one. So that's a lower bound. That's quite cool because it's, you know, that's well, that's not the max of those two, but at least it's something related to both, yeah? So, there is AB minus CD in it, and there is also A plus B minus C minus D in it. That's not enough, of course. But luckily there is other invariance, and much older. Not much older, but these have been computable, you know, signatures. And the signature, the usual signature of a torus link of time AB is roughly A times B. Roughly, it is true. How roughly is it true? For example, if you fix A and let B go to infinity, then the asymptotic quotient is in fact A. So in that sense it is true, because signatures are quasi-morphisms in bread groups. Yeah? So this is something that is easy. So, but quasi-morphism means there is still a defect. And the defect can be very harmful if you are talking about torus links where two parameters are almost the same. That's why I have to throw them away. But if you're good in number theory, then maybe you can make the lower bound work for all. That was not. So I don't want to say more on lower bounds, but since I have 5 minutes, I want to say something on a more essential problem that we'd like to solve.
So
many people like to solve it.
Just
that's called the adjacency problem.
Just curiosity.
Theory.
Excuse me. If you tabulate those distances,
yes,
to the extent that they are known, how far are they known for?
Precisely?
Yes, precisely.
There are no tables for this. People were
well, maybe, the only one who would have tables would be you, so I'm asking you.
Ask Peter. Peter, he knows. No, in fact, I'm not able to go beyond, 5, 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm really asking if there is a basis for a stronger conjecture. That's
unfortunately no. At least I cannot.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it should be an expression that for big parameters is close to this max norm. Yeah. I was not able to come up with a reasonable thing.
But is there a conjecture about the smooth ball and for the space span by pair of torus knots, the lengths, and Livingston's stable semi-norm?
Yeah. But so, in fact, one of the applications of that theorem is that those things are very thin. That's one application, yeah. But what he did was, well, there is a common intersection between those two results, yeah. But he did precise things for, 2n, that he could do precisely. I did more general grade indices, but with a constant defect, yeah. But what comes out, those unit balls are very thin polytopes.
Is it clear that the rectangles metric is not the correct metric?
Yeah, it's not. So up to constant it's the same, but I have examples where I can show it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are really all a bit different. So 1 minute maybe, the adjacency problem, because this is really a cool problem and not many people know it. So in fact, when I discussed this with Pierre, Etienne came up with a nice conjecture, which is, how do you compute the distance between two torus links? Well, just find an algebraic cobordism, and then it's probably this genus. This is a nice conjecture, but the problem is not every pair of torus links is connected by an algebraic cobordism. Let me explain why. So an algebraic cobordism would be given by a polynomial in two variables that would define a curve in C2. And what do I mean by an algebraic cobordism? Well, I would take a large sphere and a small sphere and look what is between. I would call this an algebraic cobordism. Now, let's suppose we have a torus link T1 sitting on this sphere and T2 sitting on this sphere. What does the Thom conjecture tell us? The Thom conjecture tells us that what is inside here has maximum, has minimal genus for this, and what's in here has minimal genus for this. This means that if I pick two torus links, or knots, which have the same genus, then what's in between should have genus zero. That means, if I have two torus links with the same genus and an algebraic concordism between them, then they are concordant. And that's just not true for all. So it's not possible to connect torus links by algebraic concordisms in general. And in fact, that's the adjacency problem. Given two torus links, decide whether they can be connected. It's a big open problem. People have thought about it 30 years ago or more, and at some point they stopped. And I think we should reconsider that and just argue by not theoretical arguments and not find a precise answer, but for example take one torus link, AB, and think of it as the link that sits on the large sphere. Just ask yourself what sits below. And you can ask this up to constant, you know? I was not able to extract something immediately from that theorem, but I believe that one can do something. Yeah, let me stop.
Any questions?
So is classification of the concordance known?
Of torus links, yes. Yes, they, in fact, it's not possible that two torus links are concordant. Unless they are the same. Using signature. That's little number, in fact.
So you can never have a concordant.
Oh, yes, you can. Look.
Same genus.
Same genus, no. Same genus, no. Yeah.
And this is always for A and B positive? Or this last
discussion? Oh, sorry. Everything in that talk was positive torus links.
Also this last discussion.
Yes, because, I mean, after some convention, if you look at algebraic links, then they are all positive, yeah.
Any further questions? So let's thank our last speaker.